Blog Talk Radio.
If it's smooth jazz, then the Jazz Queen and Mike Reynolds are talking about it on Talking Smooth Jazz, your place for all things smooth. Artist.
Hello, Brian. Welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Hello there.
Boney James, welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz.
Thanks so much. It's great to be with you guys.
Layla, thank you so much for coming onto the show.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Music.
This is the Jazz Queen with the Smooth Jazz News Minute.
With the smoothest show on internet radio, your hosts, the Jazz Queen and Mike Reynolds.
Hello and welcome to Talking Smooth Jazz. This is Terry, a.k.a. the Jazz Queen. It is Saturday, July 28th, 2012. Thank you so much for joining us. Joe from Germany has just popped into the chat room. Hey, Joe, if you would like to join us in the chat room, the phone number is if you'd like to join us in the chat room, go to TalkingSmoothJazz.com and click on Phil's name, and that will bring you into the chat room. The phone number is 646-716-5485, 646-716-5485. 5485. Saxophonist Phil Denny returns with a brand new CD on his offshoot music label called Crossover. And if you have not seen the cover of this CD, it is hot. H-O-T-T. A million exclamation points. Phil, welcome back.
Thanks so much for having me. Glad to be back.
Well, we're happy to have you back, and definitely we have to start. I have to start with this CD cover because it is really nice, very nice. And, you know, as Mike was saying before we came on the air, we've been posting your pictures all week on Facebook. Talking
every
about
lady I know been posting that picture. Every lady I know. I'm
talking
like,
about
I'm
how
like,
handsome and fine you are and everything.
Now, I'm going to say this on air. Okay? Me and Terry, we talk all the time, and all Terry talk about, oh, that Phil Denny, he is so fine. Mike, ain't he fine? I'm like, I never said yeah to that. I mean, what are you asking me? Is this man fine? I'm like, he all right.
See, he just mad. Yeah. He just mad. Yeah. That's all.
I guess if things don't work out in the music field, then I might try modeling. We'll see.
You know, because you definitely could make it a success in modeling for sure. So talk to us about the concept of the CD cover. Tell us what the conversation was like to put that cover together.
Yeah, you know, I've been working with a great photographer here in Lansing, Marvin Hall, and, you know, we had a great time. We actually went to an abandoned building, and, you know, with my connections in real estate, I hit up a couple guys that I know and inquired, you know, where would be the best place to shoot with lighting and so forth. So, you know, the setting was a raw setting, and that was what I was looking for, but I still wanted to, you know, of course, add the touch of class with the attire, the tie, and so forth. We shot for like 3 hours, and we really weren't sure at the end of the day what we were going to get, because we did so much, but I knew that we would have something to choose from. And when I went through all of the photos, you know, like 800 of them or something, this was the one that caught my eye, hands down. I mean, there was a lot of great work that Marvin and I did together, but this just seemed to exude a certain level of professionalism, confidence, and just in emotion. And I'm definitely an emotional person. And I thought that this image just kind of exuded that.
Wow. Now, are you like most people where you don't like, you know, a lot of pictures of yourself?
You know, it's tough for me because when I get faced with too many options, I get confused, you know? So it was a difficult process, but, you know, I guess I don't mind sharing the imagery out there because it's what helps to draw, you know, people into the music. So like Mike said, the cover's hot, and the goal is to get them to purchase the CD, open the cover, and become familiar with who the artist is.
Well,
I'm sorry. I wanted to ask you, too, like, sorry, the name Crossover, how did you come up with the name Crossover for the CD? Were there any other titles that you were kind of playing with?
You know, there were a few other titles that I was playing with, but Crossover had a deep meaning behind it, and that really was, and a story that we talked about in the initial show was my transition from, you know, working the 9-to-5 job to pursuing my passion in music, and the Crossover, word just kind of hit me one day, and it seemed to make sense, and it was an explanatory word that I felt encompassed everything that I was trying to put out there musically. So when that word just kind of came to me, I knew that was what I wanted, and it looked good in print too. So
yeah. And I like the way you have it going across the CD cover itself, sort of a vertical instead of a horizontal way. But it's a really nice cover. Congratulations. I really like it a lot.
Thank you. We put a lot of time and effort into the design, and, you know, the blurred effect in the font, you know, just shows kind of the motion, and, of course, it's going upward. So that's the purpose of the way the font was laid out on the disc cover.
Okay.
We're hoping for some success with this.
Now, even your cover for the single Push, I mean, even that is a nice...
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Was that part of the photo shoot as well?
That was, and that was actually the first series of photos that we took that was on the first floor of this abandoned building, and I just thought that particular wall was a nice color backdrop for... The whole Push idea. Push was actually one of the CD title considerations, but we did a series of shots in that manner, thinking that if it wasn't the album title, that maybe Push was strong enough to be the single. And then working with Dave Kuhner on my radio promotion, he felt that Push was definitely the strongest radio track to come out with that would best represent the new sound.
Okay. All right. So tell us about Crossover. Who's working with this CD on you, with you?
Oh, so many great people. Well, as I mentioned before, if I didn't say so, I worked with Nate Harrison, who's a great producer and an artist in his own right, who's worked with a lot of people in the industry. And we met on Facebook probably 15 to 18 months ago now. And just fortunate that he lived just over an hour away from the house, and we formed a friendship through this. And we set out to really produce a new sound and energy for the Phil Denny product. When I came to him, I had certain ideas about how I wanted the record to sound, and after relaying that information to him, he said what I felt were great and honest words at the time. He said, "We're going to make a Phil Denny record," and that was the bottom line. So that's what we did. So Nate and I work very closely together on every track. Of course, he's the producer, and we have a great guest vocalist by the name of Anna Stevenson, who we also found on YouTube from the near Detroit area. We have Nils featured on the 10th track, Sweet Party, and it was great to get Nils on board. Of course, we feature Nate Harrison on Push. We have Jerry Johnson doing some acoustic guitar on Playing Coy. And then another great guitarist out of the L.A. area, Matt Godina, who's also a contributing co-writer on the album.
Okay. All right. Well, now, the first single is Push, but I really like Traffic Jam, the first track on the CD. So... how did you come to decide, what was the decision to make Push the first single?
I put a lot of trust in David's experience in the industry. Traffic Jam was probably it was one of the top two songs that I felt would be strong to come out. And we wanted to obviously very carefully select which song, because this is my debut record, and that song would have to represent me as an artist, the appropriate groove for radio. We consider the season in which the song was being released. Of course, the image campaign behind Push, and just a song that we felt would appeal to all audiences. That was the most radio friendly.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, let me welcome to the chat room, Anisha, Lori Maxwell, and Lori G. Welcome, everyone. Again, if you would like to join us in the chat room, go to TalkingSmoothJazz.com and click on Phil's name, and that will bring you into the chat room. If you would like to call in and speak with Phil, the number is 646-716-5485. And I'm going to play Traffic Jam, so tell me about this one, Phil.
Sure. Traffic Jam, I'm partial to, as you could probably tell. I select that as track number one because it's a great way to open up, you know, the drive, and people are listening to their music in the car, and it's just a great way to start the day, or when you get out of work and head home and just rock out to it. It's it's an up-tempo groove. You know, it was fun to write this melody, and this was one of the first tracks that we recorded on the record, so it just made sense to put it as number one on the disc.
This is a hot one, too. This is Traffic Jam from Phil Denny's new CD, Crossover.
Right.
I like that. That would have been a nice first single to release as well. That was Traffic Jam. I like that one.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I
like
that one.
We had a lot of fun recording that track. And as I mentioned in the chat room, that's Terrence Palmer on the bass. He's out of the Detroit area. Rich history in gospel music, but he's also a smooth jazz a recording artist as well, and he's got some great skills on that bass.
Mm. Yeah. Very nice.
Now, Frank, yes, it is a very nice hat track. Now, Phil, now, you mentioned Detroit and Terrence, and I know a lot of you guys up there are very close-knit musical family up there because, you know, you have a song with Orrin Ewing. I know that you've done some stuff with Lynn Roundtree. Now, how is the scene up there in Detroit musically?
You know, I'm about an hour and 20 minutes from Detroit. You know, so Detroit's like my second home. But, you know, there's a lot of opportunity in Detroit when compared to, you know, here in Lansing. You know, and there are a great, just a core group of artists. And you never know who you're going to run into. I was in Detroit on Wednesday for the Sheila E. concert and went to an after party there. And just the amount of energy and talent that was there in that room is just magical. You know, you get 15 guys on one stage, and it's just an impressive performance. So, yeah, we try to stay close-knit, and, you know, so we all support one another. Of course, we've got Demetrius Neighbors, Randy Scott, we've got Terrence Palmer, and, you know, so many guys in that area that are doing great things musically.
Now, you were with you hung out with Lori and the crew there at the
Newport.
Thank you. And the Newport Jazz Festival. And, of course, we got pictures and comments about you being there and how much better you, how so handsome you are in person. How did you enjoy hanging out with them?
You know, it was great. And I wanted to put myself in a position this year to meet a lot of the people that I've been networking with and, you know, not only to build the friendships, but to put myself in a position to meet new people, the promoters of these events and so forth. And Lori and the crew, Anisha and Anita, just very hospitable. And it was like we knew one another for years, and we just had that time to kind of catch up. So I'm looking forward to doing some more of that traveling and seeing some of these, you know, supporters and friends of the music at different events in the coming months and next year. Just hoping to get out and travel more and to be on the stage, quite honestly. So that's the goal with the project here, is to get out and perform live.
Well,
you know, and that's a smart thing, too, because, you know, you don't see a lot of artists take the initiative to go out and do that and go to the festivals to meet these promoters personally so that they can put themselves in, you know, so that the promoter can get a face of who they've been talking to or who's been sending this email 1,000 times, you know, they can actually meet you in person and know that you're very, very serious about your craft, you know, and want to get on to these customers.
Yeah, yeah, and it's very important. You know, I wanted to put myself in a position to, you know, be or appear as an equal in the industry. You know, being a new guy, it is difficult. So I made that commitment to, as much as I could, kind of travel around. And, you know, I've been out on the Dave Koz cruise, on the Smooth Jazz cruise, of course, the Newport thing, and then went to Arizona for the Desert Ridge Festival. And this is just a great opportunity to, you know, experience the music, meet people, and just have fun and enjoy the music. That's what it's all about.
Yeah,
well,
right.
Hopefully you will be on the Newport stage next year. That will be, you know, that's something we need to kind of do some type of rallying or phone mail or something, email or something, campaign
That'd
to get
great.
You on to the Newport Jazz Festival for sure.
That's great.
For sure. Definitely. Now, one of my favorite songs on the CD is track number 8, When We Were Friends. I'm sorry, number 9, Till We Meet Again. Tell me about
this one. Till We Meet Again. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Till We Meet Again was the last track that we recorded, and it was the last track that I wrote the melody to. And I wanted, you know, to perform a song on the soprano saxophone because, of course, the other tracks are performed on my tenor, which I'm trying to brand myself as in the industry as a tenor saxophonist. But, you know, I remember being up in my so-called studio and, you know, a lot of the melody writing I try to do as a vocalist first. I hum a lot of these melodies. I make up lyrics to these melodies. And When We Were Friends kind of came to me in a Brian McKnight vein. And I've been a Brian McKnight fan for a lot of years. Saw him live in concert when I was in high school. And when I wrote this melody, I wrote lyrics to it as well, and I wanted something that I could reach out to in a Quiet Storm manner and
mm-hmm.
just show just a little bit of that softer side. And I think that we did a great job doing that with this track.
No, oh, I agree. All right, we're talking to saxophonist Phil Denny. His new CD is called Crossover, and it is available just about everywhere. I mean, it's Amazon, CD Baby, his website, philonsax.com, and a couple other sites, last.fm, is that right?
Last.fm is a site that's included in the distribution package that I have, but certainly Amazon, CD Baby, iTunes, and they offer personalized copies directly through the website, as you mentioned, that's phildenny.com.
Right. All right. This is Till We Meet Again. Oh, I like that. Till we meet again. Oh, love that one. Okay, you have to tell us about the lyrics.
Okay, so the lyrics would be on the next track that Lori was talking about. So if you do play that, that was on When I Think.
Ah, When I Think.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. So, but we had fun recording Till We Meet Again. It's the softer side of the album. And as I mentioned in the chat room, I can't wait to play Over That Bridge live, because that's my chance to go out and do my thing for the ladies. You know what I'm saying, Mike?
Yes, I know exactly what you're saying. Yes.
That's where we're going to get it right there.
That's right.
Oh, my gosh.
They're going to eat it up. They're going to eat it up, too.
Oh, yeah, man.
Phil,
yeah.
I don't think you're going to have to do is just get on the stage. I don't think you're going to have to really do too much of anything. Just get on the stage is what you're going to have to do.
Yeah.
I mean, it turns right, because I have never seen such a buzz or anticipation about an artist before their debut CD even comes out. I mean, am I lying? I mean, like,
just
like,
on your looks alone, dude. I'm telling you, just on the looks alone. Oh,
I'm like, I'm not the man that doesn't even have any music out. Like, I'm going to buy his CD as soon as it comes out, girl. I'm going to get it.
Yeah.
I'm like, dang.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
crazy.
I guess I could contribute or attribute that to my marketing background, you know. I don't disagree with you, because I've even said to people here locally, you know, that the support has been great, and up until now I have been more of just a face and a name. So now that the product is out, you know, that's really, you know, where I go, okay, game on. Now let's really go ahead and push forward. And
yeah.
And now I have something to sell, you know, not monetarily, but you know what I'm saying. The music now can speak to back up the entire marketing campaign.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So. I know what Terry meant, but I'm just saying. I'm just saying. That's all. But no, but it's gonna. But I told Terry after the first time we interviewed you, I say Terry, I say Phil's gonna make it. He's going to be a big star in this genre. And she said, why you say that? I said, because I said, the man got the looks. I mean, the women, I mean, because majority of the smooth jazz people that come to these festivals are women.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, majority of, I mean, you see four or five women come together, you know, as a group. You don't see four or five dudes. I mean, we only
right.
go for two reasons. We go because we go with our wife or significant other, or we're going to see
mm-hmm.
the women that's there.
Right.
You know, I mean, we go for the
right.
music as well, but that's why we really go. And like I said, the women, they already love you, so you like halfway there, and if the music is on point, it's a done deal, man. Just wrap that thing up, man. It's a done deal. It's a done deal.
Oh, man.
Now, Phil, you have two little boys, two sons.
Yep.
Are they following in your footsteps?
You know, they're both really big into sports, and they are playing instruments, and I just don't know at what level they'll continue their interest. My youngest son, Braden, plays the drums, and my oldest son, Drew, is learning the keyboard. So, you know, they've been taking lessons, you know, kind of sporadically here and there. They do have, you know, a musical interest. They're big into, you know, downloading MP3s on iTunes and,
mm-hmm.
you know, listening to music and stuff, and really impressed. Especially with my youngest son, his pitch and his sense of rhythm. And Drew, my oldest, has really been teaching himself the piano with my help, of course, but he practices at home. And but, you know, it's hard to get the football and or soccer ball out of the mix right now.
Okay. And have they been to your concerts?
They have been to my concerts. And they were just... At my most recent concert in the Detroit area, I performed with Nate Harrison. I brought them to that event. It was an outdoor family-friendly event, of course. And they get all excited and geeked up, and it's just kind of cool to see them look up to me that way. You know, I'm, of course, a big role model to them, and
mm-hmm.
they see me in a lot of different lights as a father, as a performing artist. They get a chance to see me interact with, you know, the people, and it's important to me that they see how to, you know, treat people, all people, you know, alike, and be kind and courteous to others. And it's that really, that part of it I like, you know, in addition to them just hearing me play.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to play the next song, the one that track number 6, When I Think. So tell me about this one.
Yeah, When I Think was the one vocal song that we put on the record, and I wanted at least one vocal track to kind of break up the instrumental mix on the record. And we found one vocalist, and we started the vocal writing process. And after just a few weeks, we decided that it just wasn't the right fit. So we went back to the drawing board, and then that's when Nate found Anna Stevenson on YouTube. He'd been doing some research for some other projects, and he called me the very next day. He said, "Phil, I think I've got the vocalist for this track." So we talked about it. We called Anna, and we gave her a shot, and she delivered the next day. I remember having a conversation with her about the lyrics and the vocal direction that I was looking for, and the very next day she called back and said, "This is what I've got," and she read me the lyrics, and I said, "All right, that's great. Well, let's hear what they sound like." So we got her in the studio just within a couple weeks. And, the finished product was When I Think. It's a sexy track, and there's a lot of flirting going on in it.
Oh, okay. This is When I Think.
Thank you.
right. That was When I Think with Anna Stevenson on vocals. That is from Phil Denny's new CD, Crossover. You can find that on his website, philonsax.com, Amazon and iTunes, CD Baby, just about anywhere. Definitely pick it up. And if you buy it off his website, he will sign it for you. So that's probably the way to go. For sure. Oh, hey, Barb. So Barb Susan just popped into the chat room. Hey, Barb, welcome. Again, if
hey,
you'd
Barb.
Like to join us in the chat room, go to TalkingSmoothJazz.com and click on Phil's name. You can call in and speak with Phil, 646-716-5485, 646-716-5485. All right, so, Phil, you have a CD release party coming up?
Oh, yeah, so excited about that. August 10th, and we're going to get down right here in Lansing, my hometown, and of course, looking to take that show on the road, but we are more than half full at this point, and we're expecting a sold-out crowd based on ticket sales. The ballroom seats 450 people, so just feeling so great about the support here, and I've got people traveling in from Chicago and all over the regional area to be there to witness. I've got great guys coming in to play with me. I've got Demetrius Neighbors on keyboards, Gerard Gibbs on keyboards, Ed Tate on bass, Marcus Hunter on drums. Lynn Roundtree's going to guest on trumpet. Got Jerry Johnson coming in from Chicago, and Terrence Palmer, of course, on the bass as well. Tried to pull in as many people that recorded on the album as possible, within a reasonable distance. And the guys have all been supportive and just said, let's make it happen. So it's going to be a great night of music, and looking forward to it.
Well, I saw the video, the promo video that you posted on Facebook. It's really nice. Yeah. I like that in the areas. The hotel is nice as well.
Yeah, that hotel has gone through some major renovations. The current owner was just featured in one of our local publications, and in the article it said that he invested over $1 million to rehab the hotel. So I wanted to really show that in the promotional video, because even some of the people here in Lansing aren't familiar with what kind of renovation that facility has gone through. I wanted to capture that in every little area that we're going to be in that night. It's one of those things where I wanted to create a destination for the evening, and it's more than just setting up a band and doing something at a coffee shop or something. We really wanted to do this as a full-blown concert.
Okay, so how much are the tickets?
Tickets to the show in advance are $15, and they can be purchased on brownpapertickets.com. It's a great ticket event website. And, we try to keep the price affordable for everybody, and that way everybody can walk away with a CD, too.
All right, and that is Friday, August 10th. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, well, for more information on his CD release party, definitely check out the website, philonsax.com. And find out all the information there on the website for his CD release party. And definitely buy a ticket, support the artist, and purchase a ticket. This is how they make their living. Because Phil used to work in the mortgage industry, and you left. And now, have you regretted leaving that? Have you ever looked back on that and said, I should have stayed? Or
no, and I'm still in contact with the people that I worked with. They're just minutes from my house here in downtown Lansing, and they're still experiencing the same levels of frustration. So no, I don't miss it. I miss sometimes the day-to-day interaction in the office and things like that. But I get that on a different level when I'm out performing with people. The best thing about my job and performing out is I see people sometimes at the best part of the day. I get to always see people smiling. And they're having fun when I'm on my job. So I feel that it's just very gratifying at the end of the day.
But that had to be, like, a really hard decision to leave, a regular paycheck coming in to follow your dream, in the music business. I mean, that really had to be, like, something that you had to think about, before you made that decision to do.
Sure, absolutely. It was probably 2 years before I made that decision, I read the book Who Moved My Cheese, and it was handed to me by a real estate mentor, actually. Mike passed that along to me because, he was always the type that would be forward-thinking and stressed to me, that as a mentor that we need to always be aware of our surroundings in the ever-changing, you know, economy and how things change and evolve. And we saw that writing on the wall, and, you know, I had to plan not only financially but mentally. And I honestly stuck around a little longer than I should have because, you know, I had to start, you know, tapping into my savings accounts and, you know, things like that because I believed in what I did and I enjoyed my job.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there just came a point in time where I said, all right, now's the time to really try and make this happen. And it wasn't shortly after that point that I met Nate, and I just feel like everything came together, and it was a blessing to have the opportunity to work with all these guys.
Mm, okay.
Yeah, wow, that's right. Now, Phil, I got to ask you, man. You know, Terry mentioned your kids and everything, and we haven't got to this yet, but the video you did with the Bernie walk, what was up with that, man?
Yeah. Well, tell me, did you like it first?
It was funny, yes. It was very nice, but, I mean, you had some guts to do that.
I know. You know, and I actually asked my kids first, like, what do you think? And my kids know that I'm protective of, you know, and you have to be of, you know, your image and what you post, especially because things can go so viral. But, you know, at the end of the day, like, whether you're Boney James or Richard Elliott or Rick Braun or Stanley Jordan, we're all human beings at the end of the day, and we like to have fun, and we want people to know. I want people to know that people, you know, can reach out and have a regular conversation with me. And my kids said, why not, Dad? Just let people know that you like to have fun. And I thought about it, and after they went to bed, I said, you know what? My oldest son, Drew, at the time was 12, and I thought he was right. Just let people know you're just a human being, you like to have fun, and you're more than just, you know, like Terry said earlier, just a picture on Facebook. And it was a risk, but it was just fun to do it. We had fun, just the kids and I recording here at the house, just being kids, you know.
It was hilarious. It was hilarious. A lot of fun.
Yeah.
A lot of fun. All right, I'm going to play Crossover, the title track.
All right.
You talked to Mike a little bit about why you named the CD Crossover. So, with the story is the same behind the song.
You know, this song came about last summer when Matt Godina was in town. Nate had some session work for Matt to do, and I had my first concert at Jazz on the River that Alexander Zonjic promotes, and we opened up for Olita Adams, Phil Perry, and Dave Koz, and after rehearsals, we went back and we figured, well, Matt was here. We put him to work and we get the three of us in the studio together to see what kind of, you know, magic we could make happen. And Crossover was the product of that magic that night. And I was driving home after we had just laid down pretty much the groove and we had some melody concepts written. And then Matt just ripped up the guitar solo, and that was just the inspiration behind all that Crossover kind of encompassed, you know, crossing over between different musical formats, you know, the level of energy, and I just felt it was a fitting track to be the title track. So, you know, myself, Nate, and Matt, we all came together on this track, and it's a roller coaster ride, so hang on.
Here it is, Crossover. That was Crossover, the title track from Phil Denny's new CD. Tony Exum Jr. is on the phone. Tony, hey, how are you?
I'm doing good.
Hi, me too.
What's up, Tony?
What's up, Phil? How you doing, man?
Good, man. We've been following each other on Facebook for a long time. It's good to hear your voice.
Yeah, I know, man. I wanted to make sure I could call in. I'm out here in Maryland, and
nice.
I almost forgot your show was today, but... just wanted to say congratulations to you, man, and what I've heard so far I really like. So I'm trying to come out to Detroit. So what are we going to do, man?
We need to make it happen. you know you've got some fans
yeah.
here.
That's what I understand. That's the one place I haven't been yet, and you guys are doing such big things out there. I just want to come out and play and have a good time and,
yeah,
you know, make some music. So, but,
yeah, man.
Seriously, man, your sound, I like it a lot, and your album is sounding really good, so I just want to say congratulations, and, you know, we'll talk more, but you're doing
appreciate
your thing,
that.
Man, and I'm really happy for you.
Thank you very much, and likewise.
Yeah,
likewise.
Not a problem at all, man.
All right, thank
you,
Tony.
Too.
Okay.
No problem. All right, Tony, thanks, man.
Bye-bye.
No problem, man. Bye.
All right.
So, Then, Phil, you worked with Nate on this CD, and you know, Nate
uh-huh.
and Darren Ron are like the hottest producers in the business right now.
Yeah.
You know, and Nicholas Cole is coming right up behind them. But what was it like working with Nate?
You know, Nate and I developed a great friendship through this process, and it's hard for me at this point to think about doing it any other way because, you know, like I said, it's just, it was a blessing that he was just an hour from the house, and, you know, he's definitely done some great things in the format, and, you know, to be able to have him produce the record, and, you know, we wrote every track together, so Nate is a co-writer, and, you know, we grew up with the same influences. You know, I'm an inner-city guy here in Lansing, and he's an inner-city guy in Flint, so, you know, we heard a lot of the same bass grooves. We were feeling each other on the kick drum and hi-hat grooves, and, you know, we start in on something and go, oh, wait a minute, you know, we got to switch that up. And, you know, he throws in some of his Nate twists in there and, you know, maybe you hear that in some of the songs and whatnot. But it was just a great experience. We had a lot of fun. You know, we did some backyard barbecues and had a few Coronas to celebrate. And, we were with each other for 12 months. You know, I was, you know, in and out of his home, and he welcomed me into his home. And, you know, and then you mentioned Darren. Darren was also instrumental in providing guidance to me through the process. And, you know, he'd take a listen to things as we were making progress on songs. And he came here a couple times through the process, you know, for other reasons, but we were able to hook up and practice together. And, you know, just, you know, I'd look up to Darren as a mentor and ask him questions. And ultimately he was the one that mastered the product, Crossover. So you know, Darren's got the credit for the mastering on the record. He just came through and did a great job for us. And, you know, just a whole team effort. And that's, you know, somebody asked me last night when I was at the Eric Darius concert and just networking with people afterwards. Somebody said, "Why do you keep saying we? Why do you keep saying we? It's your record." And I said, "Well, it is my record, but it was a collective effort." And, you know, this was a learning process for me. This is my first time, obviously, you know, laying this much material down on one disc. Had a lot of fun writing the melodies and coming up with the grooves with Nate. And just overall, it's just a great experience. I look forward to sharing the music with everybody.
Well, you've definitely worked with two of the best in the business, that's for sure, and it shows in the CD, so congratulations to you.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
All right, now, I read that you're getting married.
Yes.
Not sure how the female fans are going to feel about that, but...
Yeah, well, if you look closely in my left hand on the CD cover, you do see a ring there. It's a little premature, but it's on my hand. So, yeah, there's a dedication in the album about my fiance Amanda. We've been with each other for 7 years, and she's a great support structure for me, and she's a confident woman, and she doesn't put a leash on me. She lets me do my thing. She understands the business, and, you know, Lori knows how it is. I've been out with Lori and Anita and a few other folks. You know, we're all about having fun, you know. We're all about having fun, so...
Mm-hmm. But, well, congratulations to you on that.
Thank you. Yeah, and the mix of Crossover, the release party, and you know, going to radio, planning a wedding, and, you know, I've got my honey-do list.
Oh, wow. Okay, so when is the date?
The wedding date is September 8th, just the weekend after Labor Day.
Okay. All right.
Very soon.
Yes, definitely. Well, congratulations.
Congratulations on that, yeah.
Thank you. Now, I did a concert once before, and... I had a gal come up to me, and I heard Marcus Anderson's interview with you, and I thought it was funny because he's got some great stories about his experiences with the ladies. And she said, "I see a ring on your finger. That means you're married." And I said, "Yeah, I'm married, but I still know how to have a good time." So we still have fun.
Well, good. Well, we're happy for you. And Lori said we're happy for you both. She's a lucky girl to have you in her life, and I'm sure you feel the same way about her.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. Well, great. Congratulations on the upcoming marriage and on this new CD Crossover for sure.
Thank you.
All right. Mike, do you have any other questions?
No, nothing.
Talk to me, Mike.
No, can you hear me?
I said talk to me, Mike.
Oh, yeah. No other questions, man. Like I said, I'm just happy that you got this debut release coming in and everything. And like I said, I'm ready to see you live, man. You know, hopefully I can kind of make it up to Lansing because I know that the flights going out that way is not that expensive, you know. But You know, so, I mean, I would love to see you live, man, and I can't wait to meet you and everything. So I know if I hang with you, I'm going to be around a lot of women. So I know I'm just going to, you know, hang out with you. And now that you're married, you just pass them off on me. You know what I'm saying? Just, you know, I'm married.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, but my buddy Mike Lee, he's not married. So you can, you know, holler at him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But
I don't have a problem helping a brother out. You know what I mean?
Oh, man. But, I definitely, you know, I can't wait for the product to come in, you know, to see the reception that you'll get from the fans of the smooth jazz genre. And like I said before, man, you are, you know, the next, you know, big thing, I think, in smooth jazz, man. And like I said, congratulations on everything.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. I really appreciate it.
And if you need any help, like I said, you can always call me. Like I said, you know, I got a spot open just for you, man. So you need some help as far as management or getting some shows, man. I got a spot for you. So.
Cool. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Well, we appreciate you giving us another opportunity to speak with you, and I will be featuring the CD this Friday on my Jazz Queen show in the first hour. So I'll put the link on your page for that.
Okay.
People can tune in for that. And I wish I could be there for the CD release party, but I know it's going to be a sold-out show, and you're going to, you know, blow the roof off the place. So congratulations again.
Right.
Yeah.
Thank you. Hope to have some video coverage for everybody, you know, that's not able to make it. We're bringing in a film crew, and I hope to be able to share some of that video real soon, shortly after the concert.
Oh, that'll be nice. That'll be nice. All right. Well, good, good. Well, Phil, thank you again. We appreciate it. And again, this the CD is called Crossover. You can find it on his website, philonsax.com, Amazon, iTunes, CD Baby, wherever you can find CDs. Definitely pick this one up and support Phil. And buy a ticket to the CD release party as well and go check him out there as well. Hot cover. Yes. I'm looking at the cover now.
Thank you.
I knew she had it up. I knew she had it up.
We actually were able to secure the web domain PhilDenny.com at this point. So we make it real easy for people. So PhilDenny.com or PhilOnSax all points to the same location.
Oh, okay. Okay, cool. Good. Good. PhilDenny.com or PhilOnSax. Good. And follow him on Twitter under the same PhilOnSax as well on Twitter.
Yep.
Definitely. All right, Phil. Well, you have a great day.
Thanks.
Thank you,
easy, man.
Yeah, thanks a lot, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, you take care.
Thanks to the chat room, too.
All right, that was saxophonist Phil Denny. His new CD is called Crossover. Definitely pick this one up. It is a must-have, I think. I really like this CD, not to mention, you know, not just the cover alone, but the music as well. So definitely pick it up. All right,
you
Mike.
You had to throw that in there, didn't you?
I had to, because the cover is hot. I'm sorry. The cover is hot. I'm sorry. It's just, you know, the man looks good. What could I say?
Oh, man.
So you're there with Tony. You guys are headed out. How did his concert go last night?
It went great last night. Like I said, Tony performed last night. Some new material off the new CD came across very well. The crowd was very receptive. It was a high show. And, of course, my other guy, Brian O'Neill, he ripped the stage up. You know, Brian's a beast. So, you know, it was a high show all the way around. My dad came out, him and his wife, and they was just like, everybody in there was just saying how good that they both were and how high, you know, the show was. And that was one of the best shows they've seen in a while.
Okay, good.
So, yeah,
good.
It was a great show.
All right, so you're headed to the airport to take him home?
Well, we're about to grab something to eat right now, and then I'm taking Tony to the airport, and then he's out of here.
Okay, I lost you, Mike. I can't hear you.
Oh, can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I was saying that we're getting something to eat right now, but then once we eat, we're gonna shoot him to the airport and ship him up out of here and take him and send him back to Denver.
Okay, all right,
so,
well...
Yeah.
All right, well, let me thank those in the chat room. Barb Susan, Joe from Germany, Lori Maxwell, Lori G, Phil, and Anisha. Thank you all for hanging out with us. And, tune in tomorrow for our two-hour music show, tomorrow at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern. You've been listening to Talking Smooth Jazz with your host, the Jazz Queen.
And Mike Reynolds.
And we look forward to talking smooth jazz with you again next time. Until then, keep it smooth.
Thank you for listening to Talking Smooth Jazz. Please visit our websites, TalkingSmoothJazz.com and Mastermind-Entertainment.com. Join our Facebook fan and group pages and follow us on Twitter at Jazz_Queen and The Daily Grind. That's THA Daily Grind.